We're going to be in Matthew chapter 22, Matthew chapter 22 through 36 through 40. This is known as the Great Commandment. Last week we did the Great Commission, now we're doing the Great Commandment. And we're going to read it in a second, but let me give you a little context in kind of the most practical way I can talk about this. So here is, we've all had a movie where one of the main characters is about to pass away. And when they're about to pass away, there's something they've been wanting to tell our main character the whole time. And they've only got a few breaths left. And you're like, say it, say it, say that one thing. I need you to know that, you know, and you're just, because you know that for the person who's still going to go on, it's super important that they hear what this person's going to say before they go. That kind of context, that is actually the context of the Great Commandment. See, when we get to Matthew chapter 22, it is Tuesday of Holy Week, which means Jesus has like 36-ish hours before he's arrested and suffers and is falsely accused, goes through six ridiculous trials in the course of midnight through about 6, 7 a.m. This is actually, with the section we're in Matthew 22, these are his last statements publicly. And what's going to happen is he's going to finish this out, say a few things about the end, and then he's going to disappear from public view. Nothing's going to happen on Wednesday. He's going to get silent Wednesday, and then Thursday is going to be the upper room and his last words to his personal disciples. So when we read this, which is known as the Great Commandment that a lot of people already know, you need to understand this is Jesus saying the last few things in public that he's got to say, that are so important for the world to know before they don't hear from him again. So these are these words. And what we have on Holy Tuesday is the king has returned, the Messiah has gone to his temple. It's his temple, it's always been his temple. And now he's ruling and reigning in it as the Pharisees, the scribes, everybody's trying to prove that he's not the one and trip him up and make a mistake. And at every turn, Jesus is doing just fine because he is God and he is the truth. And then one scribe says, okay, let's see what you know. Hey, Jesus, what's the most important commandment? Let's see if you really get it. And Jesus says this to a world that needs to hear it before he goes. Which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Let's pray. Lord, this is the one thing every one of us online and in this room, this is the one thing we all want, and this is the one thing we're absolutely awful at doing. You said it was the most important thing. If we were going to get one thing right in this life, it was going to be this. This is the one thing to get right. And yet, Lord, we don't know how not to be selfish. We don't know how not to be afraid. We don't know how not to be bitter and unforgiving. No one's got to teach us to hold a grudge. Lord, we're just asking right now that the one thing that you said for us to get right on this earth, the only way it's going to happen is if you get it right in us. And so we welcome your Holy Spirit to speak to us this morning. And we ask you to help us see everything we think we're about to do this week in light of what we're really supposed to do. To love you with everything we've got. Because of that, to understand the rest. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen. So this is the one thing we all want. We want people to love us well. We want faithful love. And this is the one thing we're really, really bad at. What do we do with this? It's really interesting. Jesus actually, in the Great Commandment, he actually puts together a certain order of how love works. I mean, you just got to read it. First of all, we've got to love God. Now, the scripture's going to say, and we'll look at it in a moment, that, well, you never love God. You know, we don't love him. He loves us first. And so we're going to look at that in a moment. But we've got to see how much he loves us. Let me give you the word. We've got to see how much he loves us. When we take time to focus on the cross and what he's done for us, we've got to let who he is and what he's done make us realize that we are loved. And that, in turn, begins to grow God's love in us. We begin to love him with all of our everything that we have in us, our heart, our soul, our mind. And then once we begin to do that, and this is really important because this is not what the world teaches, then we start to learn how to love but not worship ourselves. Really, really important. The world says, first you need to love yourself. Just you need to accept yourself, everything that's going on, anything, the way you feel life is and the way you feel you are and the way you feel your identity is and your sexuality is, the way you feel that, well, this is just who I am. It's like, you just need to start there. Just accept everything you are. And then once you do that, you can start loving God and figuring out who he is and stuff. It's like, no. No, the Bible's super clear on this one. Love works by first, we're going to look at 1 John. Well, we didn't even, I mean, here it is right here. Let me give it to you. This is how God showed us his love among us. He sent his one and only son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. So here's the order. It starts because God has loved us. And then as we see how much he loved us, we begin to love him back. And when we begin to love him back and begin to grow in this idea of loving him with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, then we begin to be able to love ourselves. And that's really important because of the great commandment, we're never going to love our neighbor well until that. I mean, that's what this scripture said, right? It said that you got to love your neighbor as yourself. So I want you to get this. This is really important because we live in a world that says if you want to love well, it all starts with loving yourself. And it doesn't start with loving yourself. It starts with how God loved us and brings us to himself. And then we move into how to, and this is the tricky part, how do we love ourselves but not worship ourselves, right? How I feel, what I want. And then it moves into now that I have peace with what God has done in me to really understand his love. I'm at peace with that. I've learned how he sees me, who I am in him. He tells me who I am. And even though I'm always a work in progress, I have a peace and a contentment as I'm growing. And then I can start loving you well. Really, really important. So we're going to look at this together. And there's really just three simple ways this works. First of all, I'm just going to give you three re's, okay? Because I'm a pastor and I have to make it all sound the same. All right, first of all, refocus on what Jesus did for you. And the word refocus is fair enough, right? Because you spend all day and all week getting out of focus. I mean, all you got to do is watch the news for about 5 seconds and you're out of focus. All right? We've got to start with refocusing on what Jesus did for us. This is why the cross of Jesus Christ is the center of our faith. Because as we just read in the scripture, lots of things and religions and philosophies and people and movements say they love us and will teach us how to love. And the Bible says, here's love. Here's how you know it's happened. Here's what it is. And here's how you can have peace and certainty in life. And so this idea of refocusing on the cross of Christ is so important. Most of you, my son Caleb is ushering today, super cool. I love my son, I love you. I might love you enough to have my son go over and help you cut your grass. But there's no way, and Caleb, I didn't make that commitment. I have not committed you to everybody in the room and online. I'm saying I might love you enough to have my son help you do something. But there is no way I would love you enough to let my son suffer in your place. Mm-mm. Maybe I would, not my son. Not going to do it. You've got to remember what the scripture has said. First Colossians. It's the only Colossians. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood and suffering on the cross. His son. This includes you who were once far away from God. You were his enemies, separated from him by your evil thoughts and actions. Yet now he has reconciled you to himself through the death of Christ. As a result, he has brought you into his own presence. We sang about that this morning. And you are holy and blameless as you stand before God without a single fault. Which makes me say, God, have you seen me lately? You know, one of the radical middles of our faith is through what Christ has done, we are completely forgiven and faultless before the throne. And yet, we are a piece of work at the same time. You know, it's this picture. Christ has done it all for us. We are now growing into it or waiting to receive it or waiting one day in glory to realize all of it. But it's done. Romans chapter 5, I'm going to read this to you. Verses 9 and 10, listen to this. By his blood we are put right with God. How much more then will we continue to be saved by him from God's anger against sin in this life? We were God's enemies, but he made us his family through the death of his son. Now that we are God's family, how much more will we be saved and transformed in this life by Christ's life in us? Do you realize how much he loves you? Do you realize what his son has already accomplished? We're reading that book, Follow, about how to be the habits. And he says in it, he says, because of Jesus, you are eternally cared for. There's never a moment, never a second that God isn't caring for you and watching what you're going through. You are completely forgiven. You are never alone. You're totally accepted. And you're absolutely complete. What Christ has done, what you are now growing into, he's paid it and you're waiting for delivery on it. It's done now. That's how much. And if you ever want to stop and both hurt your head and also fall to your knees at the same time, just answer this question. Whose behavior makes you approved by God and accepted into his family? Whose behavior does that? The answer is not yours and not mine. It's his. That's how much you and I are loved. That's how much is already done for us. And yet we spend so much time trying to earn it, trying to make it happen. And Christ has already finished the work. You know, we're like us guys who watch some sports game in which how we act has absolutely no effect on the game whatsoever. There's nothing we're doing as we're watching the big game that's going to change anything about the outcome. Nothing is going to change the outcome that we're about to do. And we're going to yell and scream. There's a few, they may cry. All right, there's a few things going on there. Get the kids out of the room. I won't talk to anybody right now. Nothing's changing the game you're watching. And yet that's how we're at life. We're like, we're doing all these things. We're thinking, we're worried about, what did Jesus say to Mary and Martha? It's like, you're worried about a lot of things. None of them are as important as just knowing me right now, because I'm it. I'm the answer. Everything you're worried about, I've already taken care of it. And you and I, we've got to refocus on what Christ has done for us. And if we'll start to do that, there's this interesting thing that's going to start happening in our hearts. We're going to start just taking time to love God well. And I want us to go from that to understand, and again, this, I'm trying to follow the progression of the great commandment here, that once we begin to refocus on how much he loves us and what's already done for us, what's paid for, the bills are paid for, the best thing you ever wanted on Amazon's been ordered and paid for, you're just waiting for delivery on it, like it's all done. And now, you just need to remember how God's love, and here's an important word, grows in you. And the Lord was really speaking to me about this. It grows in you, because you're never going to give something you don't have. I mean, you can know it up here, but if you don't have it in your heart, you're never going to give it away. So if you don't experience God's forgiveness and grace in your life, you're never going to be gracious and forgiving with anybody else. And if you don't have moments every day, if in your worship, in your first 15, and giving God first, in the prayer times, if you don't come in and refocus on who's got all the work done in the moment you're praying, and you don't begin to receive the love of God, you've got nothing to give. But as you're remembering it, as you're refocusing on it, as it's filling you, you need to remember that God's work in you happens a certain way. And this is really, really important. God's love grows and wins in your life through four things: time, truth, faith, and forgiveness. This is really important. All right? God's love. And you know, we're here. I'm complete in Christ. Well, I don't see it. Well, guess what that's going to take? Time. I'm forgiven, and I'm a person who I'm complete in him. I'm free of all addictions. I'm at peace. I understand my prayers. Like time is going to be what God is gifted you to let all that love grow in you the way it's going to be. Now, time's going to be important, but there's another thing called truth. It's getting honest about where you're at and what you need, what's broken and what's not. And we live in a world that wants to say, let's make everybody's truth the right truth. I'm like, you are sentencing people to a life of misery and torture with that concept, because you need to identify what's broken in order for it to be fixed. Now, it's interesting, these first two times in truth, you need this because you can't love something you don't know. And it takes time to know someone, and it takes the truth about who they really are. But once you really know who they are, you need the last two. You need some faith, and you need some forgiveness. Because guess what you're going to find out with time and truth? There's no relationship on planet Earth that doesn't work with these four. You got to have all four. You got to have some time. You got to have truth. And then you need some faith. Faith that God's not finished. Faith that God is sovereign and in control. Faith that it looks this way in my circumstance, but in my spirit, something different is going on. You got to have faith. And then you better be ready with some forgiveness. These are the things God has given us. Luke 22, 31 through 34. That's the story of the Apostle Peter. The Apostle Peter, when Jesus finally says, I'm going to have to I'm going to the cross. And Peter's like, no, you're not. It's not going to happen. And Luke 22, 31 through 34, Jesus says this, and notice the four elements. Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you. I love that. Simon, that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned back, because it's not going to be now, strengthen your brothers. Peter replied, no, Lord, I'm ready to go with you to prison right now to the death. And Jesus answered, I tell you, Peter, before the rooster crows today, here's the truth. You're going to deny me three times. The truth doesn't stop Jesus from loving Peter. The fact that right now Peter is failing does not stop Jesus from loving Peter. Jesus had this concept, in time, Peter, you're going to get there. So I've got the certainty of what I've called you to, and I've got forgiveness for you along the way. Look, that's you and me. Jesus knows where we're at. And he's using these things called time and truth, faith and forgiveness, to say it's going to win in you and me. And so we've just got to be able to receive that today. When's the last time you were okay with a process that looked like Peter's in your life? I'm complete. We win here. And as the great commandment goes, this ends up finishing not with you. It ends up finishing with your one. Because you love your neighbor as yourself. This ends up at a neighbor. This ends up reaching one. This ends up with the people around you who God loves so much that he put you around them. People that are going to be God's family one day and need one person to be in their life the right way. I want you to recognize, and here's why it's so important. Remember we said you won't give what you don't have? Until you understand that there's a process of time, truth, faith, and forgiveness in your life, you're never going to extend the same four to your one. The one that your neighbor needs time, truth, faith, and forgiveness. They're going to need some time. They're going to need to know the truth about what's broken and what's blessed. They're going to need you to have faith that you receive from the Lord to walk with them when it doesn't seem like it's getting better. And you're going to have to forgive that person. You're not reaching one and not having to forgive them. Now, I think we begin to feel this in the heart. I'm going to go to our head in the next moment. There was a Christian, I don't know, scholar, I don't know exactly what category. He came out, he was actually a missiologist. He was actually someone in missions, and his name was Joseph Engel. And he came up with something called the Engel Scale. And it was this idea that people take time to come to Christ, and there are actually steps they usually follow. So we're gonna switch gears to our mind. I'm gonna show you a little video that I guess is a little kind of just fun and peppy, but it gives you the concept of the Engel scale, because this is how you understand how you take the love of God in you and give it to someone else. So here we go. That's what people have found over time. It takes time, truth, faith, and forgiveness. It takes time for people to come to grips with who Jesus is and what that means and their need. Your family needs time, truth, faith, and forgiveness because you're about to watch them take this journey. And it may take 2 to 4 years for it to happen. But the same time, truth, faith, and forgiveness that God allowed you to experience is what you've got to allow someone else to experience. So as you're thinking about your one, as you're thinking about who you're inviting, and you'll notice you've got those little invites on your seat that start the process for Easter Sunday, you just got to recognize that this one person is going to need all those things we've just heard about. And that's the journey you're on with them. Now, Easter can be part of that. Again, it's two weeks away now, and I just want to encourage you. I'm going to ask Pastor Niedra in a moment to come on up and finish us up with understanding a few details there. But you just need to understand that that's the journey they're on, just like you. And the only difference is they haven't said yes to the understanding and the power of what Jesus has already done for them so that they can finish this game without feeling like it's all on them. And so I want to encourage you to continue to pray for your one. Pray for that person. And then in your heart, recognize the journey you're saying yes to. Now, some people we only know for a little bit. We just plant a little seed, like 1 Corinthians, Paul says, hey, some plant, some water, you know, some do the weeding in between. It's like, that's all right. But those people you love, it's going to take some time. And whether you get to be one step on that little ladder, whether you get to be someone who walks them all the way through. Think about parents. Think about your kids. They're on this journey. That's what it's going to require. And so I just want to have a moment of prayer as we think about this great commandment one more time. What's the most important thing? Sean, if you're going to get one thing right, you know, who's right politically, socially, who's right about this piece of doctrine over here? That, like, if you're going to get one thing right, get love right. I'll take care of the rest. But you need to refocus on the cross and don't let anything else be your focal point in life. Because once you do that, everything's going to get real blurry real quick. And then, first of all, and the thing I want to pray for everybody online and here today is, like, I think we need a new moment of experiencing God's love and grace in our own heart. Let's just say yes to the time. So let's say yes to the truth, right? All right, Lord, I'm not just going to ignore this. But then, Lord, strengthen my faith. And Lord, I want to confess and ask forgiveness for on this journey. So let's do that, and then let's take a moment to remember our one, that they need the same grace in their life too. So I'm going to ask you to bow your heads with me, and let's pray. I'm just going to ask right now that each one here, and if you're online, would you just make sure that you know the true, remember that you're focused on what Christ has really done. And if there's any of you online who are watching or anyone here has never made that decision to say, Lord, I want to accept and be completed by Jesus Christ. If you've not made that decision, I just want to invite you to take a moment in your heart, make that decision and take a step forward today to live in the love of God. If you're online, you can just indicate in the chat that you're making that decision. And if you're here, you can just raise a hand this morning and say, Lord Jesus, I want to make that decision. Thank you for what you did on the cross. I want you to complete my life, and I give all of it to you. I'm just going to ask right now, would you take a moment, remembering how much the Father in heaven has loved you? God, I speak the blessing of time, truth, faith, and forgiveness over each of my friends. Lord, thanks for time. We don't take it for granted. Thanks for having time and mercy on us. And Lord, I just ask right now, each of us here, looking at the cross and knowing my love, I can also look at truth. Lord, forgive me for my sin. Forgive me for those places I've turned away. Forgive me for false ideas about love and wrong ways of trying to achieve it. Would you just take a moment and receive time, accept the truth, knowing that you're loved, that no truth about where you are can affect the Father's love. He's already forgiven and worked in the hardest, most gruesome place at the cross for you. Holy Spirit, come, strengthen us. Increase our faith for the journey ahead. I just pray, Lord, the lifting of burdens off of shoulders, anxiousness off of minds. Lord, we will no longer be people defined by worry. Lord, we do forgive, even if tomorrow we've got to forgive again, because it's a process, not just a decision. We just forgive today. How could we not sing all you've done for us? That person who took from us is not defining our future. You are. So we forgive and let go. Help us to grow in what healing looks like for that, and help us not to live in isolation, but find those that know you that can help us. And thank you for new beginnings today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Pastor Nidja.
Can we give it up for our pastor this morning? Our good God who spoke to him this morning.
Such an awesome word. May we extend the love that we so graciously receive from our Father. May we extend that love to others. I love that. Well, we've been talking for the past few weeks about the one, reaching the one, and hearing God's heart for the one, those who are lost. And we've all been in that place, or we were lost. We've been in that position. And I'm so thankful that God loved us enough that he pursued us when we were lost, when we strayed away. And so we're asking the family, our family, we want to be like Jesus. We want to be the hands and feet of Jesus by asking you to do three things. And the first one is inviting. For some of you, that is, hey, you can do that all day. For some, it's, you know, it's a little bit out of your comfort zone. But no matter your comfort level, we're asking you to take a step of faith, pursue someone, and invite them to come on Easter Sunday. You can do that by grabbing the invitation on your chair, or if you're online, there's a digital copy that you can download and share by going to cornerstone.ag/Easter, or you can go to our social media page and share there. But we want to extend an invitation to the lost, those who do not know Christ. We want to extend an invitation for them to join us on Easter Sunday. So we want you to invite. And then the second thing we want you to do is serve. Jesus came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. And so we want to be prepared for who God sends us, who God will bring here on Easter Sunday. And so we want them to experience the love of Jesus, whether they're walking in our parking lot, whether they're serving in the kids, whether they're bringing their kids to Kidsmen, or if they're just experiencing the love of Jesus online in the chat. There is a position for you. There's an opportunity for you to serve on one of our dream teams. It's no matter whether you don't feel comfortable coming into the building yet, you can host online, or if you feel comfortable coming into the building, we have opportunities for you to serve. And so we're asking you, when you leave out of the sanctuary this morning, there is a sign-up table for you to join one of our dream teams. Because the third thing is pray. Because we're believing God for the lost. We're believing God for salvations. And that God is beginning to prepare the heart, so he is going to give you the words that, as you're starting to have conversations with the one, your one. And so we just want to ask you to invite, to insert, to serve, and to pray. Because we know that God is going to do something incredible. And so we want to make sure that every person that we know has an opportunity to experience the same love and the same relationship that we have with Jesus. Amen? Can we do that? Amen. Well, if you would stand really quick, grab your invitation. your invite is this puzzle piece. If you would grab that on your way out and just be praying and asking God, who do you want me to give this to? Who do you want me to invite? And then, of course, you can go out into the foyer and sign up for an opportunity to serve on one of our dream teams. We love you. We're so glad that we get to worship with you. Looking forward to doing it again next Sunday. Be blessed. We love you so much. And our ushers are going to come and dismiss you by row. Have a great week. Enjoy your small groups this week.